Hello and welcome to another episode of the Deceptively Athletic Podcast. I am Tony Romanello. With me, as always, Mark Jakowski. Mark, where are you coming from this time?
Coming from Livonia, Georgia.
Any funny nicknames for this? Any funny nicknames for this city?
I wish. No, it's like the middle of nowhere. I guess it's like basically a train station.
And they're like train station.
There are two hotels and then like five motels. And then there's no other hotels for 25 miles.
Nice.
Dude, that's crazy.
I know.
And from Marshall, what did you call Madison, Wisconsin last night? Madtown?
Madtown.
Whatever. It made me very angry, whatever it was.
Dude, it sucks here right now. It was literally snowing sideways. Like, I had a meeting go late at work today, so I couldn't leave till like 6. And when I left, it was snowing sideways. And like, the highway was so bad getting home. Like, I saw like 3 cars that were like off the highway in like ditches, and like it was pretty wild out today. But hey, it's what happens when it snows and it's like 25 miles per hour wind.
It was pretty cold today in Pittsburgh. It was like 30 some degrees.
It's only high 50s in Livonia right now, so I'm kind of feeling it too.
Well, Greg Stefanik in Seattle. What's the weather like over there?
Coastal.
Is it raining?
No, it's not raining.
Oh, I was lying.
It really doesn't even rain that much here.
I feel like you're lying.
Those coasts stop the rain in Seattle.
It doesn't even rain. It's just like it's not sunny. It's just cloudy. That's it. It doesn't really rain like very rarely.
See,
well, yeah, very rarely. But
Tony, Jeff Bezos like cloudy, got out though. There.
I don't know. Sunny can get irritating. Sunny
it drags. If you haven't seen the sun in like months, it's rough.
Oh yeah, I see that.
No. Damn, that's probably gonna hurt that classic Boss Man tan though.
Greg's like,
oh man,
you haven't seen the sun since October or something.
It came out like last week for a couple of days, but it was a long stretch from like November to like February where like no sun.
Damn,
so, what? No, dude. I just assumed the stuff about it always raining in Seattle was true because when I visited Chicago, it was legitimately windy all the time. So I just assumed all the stereotypes about cities were true.
Yeah.
It gets super windy out of the Midwest. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, dude. Like there's just like when I was in Chicago like 2 years ago, there's literally just like a constant gust of wind at all times. Like I didn't understand how it worked, but it did. All right, but do we want to get back to our discussion of the Oscars then? Because we kind of already were talking about that to begin with.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. So I guess do you guys want to start out with what won what and what we thought of that?
Yeah, I feel like I didn't see Shape of Water, so I guess Tony,
you don't have
and Greg got
yeah,
a
that's
take.
A, yeah.
I don't know. I don't really have a hot take on that. I'm sure I'll see it eventually, but it wasn't like, I don't know. To me, it didn't seem like the movie that was like demanding to be seen right away that I need to go to theaters to see. I don't know. I guess, how did you guys feel about that? And do you think it deserved to win?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a fine movie. Like, it's good. I mean, it's like well-made. Like, it was nominated for all those like technical things and like, I actually thought they did all those well. Like the production design's really good and all that stuff. Like, the cinematography's real good and everything. It's a fine movie. It was, like, the safe pick to win. Mm-hmm. Like, it was probably just the least polarizing movie of the group, and that's probably why it ended up winning. Like, I have no problem with it winning. I wouldn't have picked it, but I don't know. I also don't... I don't mind that it won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Greg, what did you... Yeah, go ahead.
I don't particularly like it that much. Like, it's fine, but I feel like the reason it won is it kind of checked all the boxes for like Oscar movie, right? So it had like the lead was like a deaf woman, and then
she's not deaf, she's mute. You stupid.
Yeah, she's
idiot.
Mute. She's
whatever.
Mute.
Boss, yeah, Mark
didn't talk.
I'm
offended from the trailer.
I'm offended right now. God damn.
Whatever. She doesn't talk. That's the main point. and then like the other two like main characters, like one's like a gay guy, and then the other is like a strong like black woman.
Yeah, so it takes place in the '60s too. So being a gay dude and an African American woman at that time were
Yeah, and then, like, the
a villain. A lot worse.
Like, yeah, and the villain's, like, this, like, white, rich, like, power-hungry kind of, like, classic, guy or whatever.
Like yeah. Suburban white dude.
Yeah, exactly. He gets, like, that nice, like, I don't know what it is, like, a Chrysler or something like
Cadillac.
That.
It's a Cadillac. Cadillac,
that's what it is.
Greg, did you even see this movie?
Man. I saw it, like, 3 months ago. And like I said, it was very forgettable. I was like...
Yeah, yeah no, it's...
But other than the fish sex, that's about it.
Yeah, but luckily we don't actually get an actual scene of the fish and the woman having
what
sex.
What the fuck? I'm out. Which is, God damn it. That's the only reason I wanted to see this one.
Wow, okay.
Wait, so you're telling me Twitter lied to me whenever they put the goldfish, or the Barbie in the goldfish tank? It's in the shape of water?
Sadly. I mean...
You don't honestly see, you might as well just watch that. Yeah,
it's yeah. The same.
I mean, but, you can find some stuff online, dude. That's all I'm saying. The internet is.
Yeah, Marshall, you're so upset. Say this to yourself, Marshall. You're the one that just got super outraged, dude. No, but for like you said, Marshall, like you alluded to, like this probably isn't going to be the movie from this year that is like remembered. You know what I mean? Like, I think we're going to be.
That's how I felt.
I think in 5 years, nobody's going to be like, wow, do you remember The Shape of Water? What a movie that was. Like, I think that the two movies to me that it's going to be is Get Out, I think, are going to be one probably the most memorable of this year. I think Lady Bird is going to be one of the more memorable movies from this year.
Interesting.
Lady Bird was super good. Like, I really liked Lady Bird a lot. Like, that was probably my second favorite movie out of the Best Picture nominees. Like, I really liked it. I thought it was... kind of almost a perfect movie, honestly.
As someone who's seen the trailer for Lady Bird, I really want to see it now. I did research, saw all the trailers.
I'm right there with you, Mark. It's like Lady Bird. Like, I kind of understand the premise of what that's about. I'm like, that sounds like a really interesting movie. And I don't know, maybe it's like the point of life that I'm at right now, but I think about, like, you know, like kind of growing up and like becoming yourself. I feel like those kind of themes hit pretty strongly with me right now, and it seems like it's pretty powerful in that sense. I guess the one thing I have heard, because my mom actually saw it, so I was getting my mom's expert takes on the movies. She said it will probably hit like a lot. It focuses really a lot on the mother-daughter relationship that you know, we probably can't really identify with quite as strongly, but I think everything I've seen of it looks really interesting. Yeah, that's interesting to hear you say that, because for me personally, I think the two that out of the ones I've seen last year, I think the two that stood out to me were Get Out and Three Billboards.
Yeah, Three Billboards was probably my like third or fourth favorite one. I really like that one too. But just on Lady Bird though, before you get into Three Billboards, that probably has the best opening scene to a movie I've seen in a while. Like, Greg, do you know what I'm talking about?
What was the opening scene again?
When they're in the car coming
opening.
When they're in the opening? Car coming back. They're in the car coming back from like a college visit.
Oh, and she jumps out of the car.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah.
It is so good. Yeah. That whole scene is perfect. Like, I'm not like perfect. I love that scene.
I think the end scene was pretty good too. Like whenever the mom's like dropping her off at the airport.
Yeah.
That was good too.
Yeah, this movie like absolutely nailed the opening scene of the movie and the ending scene of the movie. Like, I don't know. It was just a really good, like, if you guys haven't watched it, like,
I definitely want to see it. It's like that Annihilation are the two I want to see this week.
We won't get into Annihilation. We'll talk about that later because
maybe
I saw that this weekend. But yeah,
dude. But, let's talk about that when I see it, because I'm gonna have some takes.
I think. He knows he's gonna have takes. Doesn't even have them yet, but
I already know.
Yeah, but Marshall, like you said too, it is like a really good like depiction of like being like a teenager and like in high school and like about to go to college, like around that age. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like a really interesting like depiction of that, where it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like a roller coaster through the whole movie, like the way she's like just how her life goes, and it's, I don't know, it's good. And Saoirse Ronan is like super good as the main character. So
yeah, I actually have a pretty strong feeling that I'm going to see that, and it's going to shoot up my list, and it might even end up being my favorite movie from last year, just because, like I said, those kind of themes of like kind of like growing up and becoming yourself, like I identify with pretty strongly. Like, for instance, like Boyhood, that's probably one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, I feel like the way that captures like the experience of growing up is just something I haven't really seen done in a movie quite as well. I'm not sure how Lady Bird does it, but I mean, it seems like it's hitting, it's trying to hit that, and we'll see if it actually does. And based on what people are saying about it, it sounds like it really knocks it out of the park. One thing I did want to mention, I think it's interesting about Shape of Water that I'm kind of happy it won Best Picture, in the sense of, like, you know, the director, what is his name, Guillermo del Toro. He's made some, like, really interesting movies. Have you guys seen Pan's Labyrinth? Like, that one.
I have not, but I've heard it's great.
You should check it out. I don't really want to overhype it, because the reason I like it was I kind of just watched it out of nowhere with my family, for, of all places, just, like, one random night. And it was like, wow, this is, like, pretty shocking and, like, really interesting. It's a really strange movie, but, like, I think this is... So if we count, like, Lord of the Rings, outside of that, this is kind of like the first kind of fantasy movie to win Best Picture. So I think that's kind of cool in that sense, because I feel like, you know, for instance, like, I know, Tony, you saw Blade Runner this year. Yeah. Like, and I feel like we've talked extensively about different superhero movies, that kind of stuff. And, like, to be frank, like, those movies, or just, like, sci-fi kind of fantasy movies in general, never do particularly well at the Oscars, so it's kind of cool to see one of those movies win a major award.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah,
even Blade Runner did pretty good for itself this year too. Won two.
Cinematography.
Yeah. Roger Deakins finally got a win.
Yeah, your boy, finally.
Yeah, after 14 nominations, he finally got one. So, but and it won for visual effects. So there's actually some, like you said, some like sci-fi fantasy movies that got some recognition this year. But one other cool thing about The Shape of Water is Guillermo del Toro won Best Director too. Mm-hmm. And out of the last 5 years, four of the Best Director winners have been Mexican, which I feel like is like super crazy. That's pretty cool. And like really awesome. Like, cause the dude who directed The Revenant and
Inurita.
Him. And then Gravity one, that one.
Yeah, yep.
That was also a Mexican director. So, yeah, there's been four of the last five have been a Mexican director, which I feel like is super.
Wait,
super cool.
Did Gravity win Best Picture that year? I honestly can't remember.
I'm pretty sure it did. I like read that today. So.
Oh man, let's not get into Gravity, but
I didn't want to. Like,
I agree.
I agree with you, Marshall.
I never saw
it. Experience seeing it in theaters, but like, talk about like. So like just like past like such a passing moment. Like I have no like I took nothing away from that movie.
Wait, no,
like,
Gravity that didn't, was Gravity of, didn't win.
What won that? What did he win it for then?
What year?
No, he might have won Best Director, but
he didn't win Best Director. Okay. Never mind. Yeah, didn't win Best Picture. That's what it is.
Didn't win Best Picture.
Yeah, Best Director. No, that's cool. I think like even looking at the directors that were nominated, we're seeing some good diversity. I mean, it's tough because like sure. Like at the top there's a bit of diversity, but if you look at like overall percentages of directors and stuff, it's still like very biased towards white males, but we don't really need to get into that now. But
no, yeah, I mean, but like another thing on the
some diversity honored with these major awards, you know.
Yeah, definitely. With the diversity thing, Jordan Peele is the first African-American person to be nominated for Best Director, Screenwriter, and Best Picture. So
yeah, that's also like
a first thing. There was like a ton of, a ton of history like was actually made like with these awards.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any other takes on Shape of Water and Lady Bird before we move on to some of the other movies?
No. Yeah, if you want to get into three billboards, go ahead.
Yeah, like I don't know if I really want to dive too deeply into three billboards. I think I mentioned this when we talked about it last time, like. I don't think it's a perfect movie. I think there are definitely some scenes that really were kind of misses for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think the biggest example would be like when she's working in the store and that random dude comes in and he's like kind of intimidating her or whatever. It's like pretty obvious that he's like has something to do with, you know, the raping or whatever. And then it's the same guy in the bar. And that seems like such a, like a huge like movie coincidence to me. But outside of, like, a couple scenes like that, I thought it was such a great just collection of, like, edge-of-your-seat scenes. And I think they, who's the director? Martin McDonagh. He does a McDonough, great job. Yeah, he does a great job of, like, setting up, like, your expectations that, like, anything can happen. And with, like, some, like, just, like, shocking violence in some scenes that you're kind of constantly on the edge of your seat. Like, I would say the perfect example is, like, you know, at the beginning, that Dennis scene was obviously, like, very eye-catching. Like, holy shit, he went for it. And then whenever she's on the dinner date with Peter Dinklage, and she walks over with, like, the bottle of wine, I'm like, she's about to, like, fucking, like, slam that bottle against the dude's head or whatever. And then she just, like, calmly places it down. And you're just like, wow, that was, like, presents, like, a calm scene. Like, I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. I think he does, like, a good job of kind of, like, setting up your expectations that anything can happen in any given scene. And yeah, I think I went in with kind of low expectations as far as, like, well, it's like, you know, it's like three billboards, like, okay, she wants justice for her raped and killed daughter or whatever. So it's probably going to be her, like, fighting with the police council. And that's what it was for the first, like, 40 minutes. And then, like, so much shit happens after that. Like, there's so much, like, plot development in that movie that I was kind of shocked by. And I thought it was, like, I still think Get Out was probably a better overall movie when I step back about it, because I think Get Out was just, like, expertly crafted beginning to end. I don't think there are any, like, unnecessary scenes or anything, but I think Three Billboards had some, like, really amazing moments that I think I'll remember for a long time. And, like, as soon as you say that, I'll instantly think of a couple of different scenes, you know?
Yeah. With that scene, you were talking about how that dude was, like, harassing her in the store and then he comes up later. I think, like, the point of that is to be like, this can't be a coincidence. But then it is just a coincidence. Like, it's not, it's supposed to be like that, where it's like, yeah, life doesn't just kind of work like that sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's the point of it.
Yeah, but there's never going to be, like, a happy ending to the movie.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely get that. I think I'm glad it didn't have a happy ending. And I kind of liked how it was kind of just, like, ending, like, so are we going to kill him or not? It's like, I don't know, we'll decide as we get there, you know? It's kind of like,
yeah,
you know, you have no idea what's gonna happen. There's no closure, and I think that I mean, that's the entire point of the movie, is like, she never gets any closure with that situation, and it kind of, you know, it kind of shaped the rest of her life, and you feel like she's never gonna recover from that situation, which, like, in real life, that's probably true.
That happens. It happens sometimes. Happen.
Yeah, that's 100% gonna happen. If some kind of traumatic event like that happens to you, you'll probably never recover from that. And I think it does a pretty good job of capturing that, and how you know, some of these big moments can kind of shape your entire life. Yeah, just there are just so many just killer scenes. Like, I thought the casting for the divorced husband was so perfect. Like, he, like, looked like the total dude who would be, like, dating an 18-year-old or whatever, you know?
Yeah, no, I thought the casting for all the parts, I think, were incredible. Like Frances McDormand is absolutely perfect in this movie. Like, she's so good. Like, and Sam Rockwell is so good as the, like, alcoholic racist.
Yeah, did you guys like his character? Because, like, I liked the movie, but I did not like how
that's the controversy.
Yeah,
the controversy about this movie is, like, he's a terrible alcoholic, racist, violent cop, and he kind of gets redeemed a little at the end, I guess. Which, like, I guess you could say he gets redeemed, but I don't know if he gets, like, I don't know if I would fully agree with it, because, like, I mean, look at what happens to him throughout the movie. Like, he gets fired, he gets burned, like, he gets beat up all the time. Like, I don't, it's not like, good things don't happen to this guy.
Like, yeah, it's not like he got his job back. Like, he came back and he found the blood. It's like, oh, you found him, congrats, get your job back. I think my biggest critique with how they handled that situation was, I almost felt like he's, like, this idiot, you know, this pretty, like, complete shit of a person, you know? It's like, man, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Like when he went up and beat up Red and, like, threw him off the roof, that was, like,
that was the most absurd scene to me. Like, that was the scene that didn't work for me. That's the most memorable
scene of the year for me. But, like, I'm not sure if it was good or not, but it's just so shocking and memorable that I'll never forget. I guess my critique, though, is, like, I feel like he reads this letter from, you know, Woody Harrelson. Yeah, he reads the letter from his character, and then all of a sudden, like, he's, like, this smart, like, detective, like, getting, like, DNA samples and everything. It's like, this seems kind of ridiculous, because he was literally just, like, so stupid, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
I feel like I don't say, I'm not going to say it's a complete redemption, but there's like,
they make him feel sympathetic.
Turning point for that character. Yeah. There's a turning point for that character where he becomes sympathetic. I think it's kind of undeserved. And that's why I would say Get Out is probably the better movie that deserved the award or whatever more. But yeah, I definitely have critiques of that movie. And that's one of them as far as like how they developed that character. Because I think they were trying, I think, to redeem them to a bit, but I just felt it was pretty undeserved how they did that.
Well, I just didn't buy his transformation at all, because it wasn't he was he's a cop, but he's just also, you know, overly aggressive and gets drunk and is kind of racist. He was just completely a complete idiot.
Exactly.
At the beginning of the movie, he wasn't even trying to do his job right. And so, that's why I wish they would have made him, a little more competent. And so, afterward, you could be well, maybe he's just trying to clean himself up or something. But it just seemed like his character just completely changed. And I don't know. I don't kind of buy it that much. Because I feel kind of the point of the movie is that things don't change that much.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of bought it a little bit. Because, he gets fired and then he gets caught in that fire and then... all this terrible stuff happens to him. And then, I feel like that is, something that could possibly, make a person reevaluate some stuff. When just horrible thing after horrible thing after horrible thing happened to you. But, I don't know. I did not really care about how they made him, a sympathetic figure. Because, I said, he's, just such, a terrible person throughout the whole movie. Yeah. And it's no, I'm not going to feel bad for this. I don't want to feel bad for this guy. Don't try and make me feel bad for this guy. I don't know. But... I think that's the whole point of the movie, though, is here, Frances McDormand is at the beginning, you're supposed to be on her side and you're supposed to be against Sam Rockwell's character. Mm-hmm. But then towards the end, during the movie, you start to question Frances McDormand's character's stuff. You're is she really because when she burns down the police station, you're like, oh, right. I don't know if I'm. And then Sam Rockwell's character starts seeing things a different way. So I think it's the whole thing is everybody is flawed and some people are good here and there, but not, I don't know. I think that's the point. I don't know if I agree with all the ways they did it and everything, but I think that's what they were going for.
I could kind of see that, but I actually think Woody Harrelson's character was just I feel like you start off and being okay, he's going to be kind of the villain that she's up against and you're supposed to be cheering for her. But in all honesty, Woody Harrelson was easily the most brutal.
Yeah, he was the best dude.
Movie. He was the only character that I felt this man, I understand his motives. I think he's trying to do the right thing. And even that suit, I mean, Mark, Mark, I hate to spoil it, but
we've spoiled this movie completely to hell already. What are you talking about?
Marshall's I want to say one scene for Mark, who doesn't know what happens.
Well, if we're going to save one scene for Mark, let's save the priest.
For our listeners, too.
Yeah, if we're going to save one scene for Mark for this movie, let's save the priest scene for him and not spoil anything that happens.
Oh, my God,
scene.
Yes. That was early on, and that was such an amazing... Yeah, that's what I mean. So many, memorable parts of this movie. But no, his suicide note was, so,
so perfect.
Kind of complex. It's he nailed the writing on the execution.
Yeah, when he pays the next month for her billboards, and she's he's like, I just did it because I thought it would be funny to watch you have to defend them for the next month after
that
I'm
was
dead.
Hilarious.
And I'm like, oh, that's the so goat. Perfect. I don't know. It had very high highs, but there was also just some very questionable things in the movie.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the problem with it.
Yeah, it was a really interesting movie though. I kept thinking about that movie for a couple weeks afterward, whereas other movies, I'm just kind of whatever. Yeah, exactly. So that's one reason I thought it was one of the better movies this year.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. Did anybody want to say anything else about any of the other Best Picture nominees?
I mean, I feel like we already talked pretty extensively about Get Out, and I think that's kind of our... If we were voting for the best...
If I was voting, I would have voted for Get Out.
That seems to be our consensus pick. I guess... I don't know. I guess besides blatant racism, do you guys have a sense, what are the critiques against that movie? Because I don't know. I legitimately watched it, and it was super enjoyable, good twists throughout. I guess you could say it was, maybe a little heavy-handed with, how it's, depicting, this is basically slavery or whatever. But, I thought it was very subtle at the beginning, and they kind of transitioned it to make it like, very obvious what was going on. But I feel like that transition was smartly done. I don't know. I felt like it was such an enjoyable watching experience, like beginning to end. I don't know.
No, yeah, that was the most enjoyable movie I've watched out of the Best Picture nominees. And I also think that Jordan Peele did the most with the least out of these nominees. Like, I think like he had the, like he created that, like all, like The Shape of Water is a super unique story, but like this is also just like, I just feel like he did a lot with not a very big budget, and kind of like he even said in his acceptance speech for Best Original Screenplay was like, I stopped writing this movie 20 times because I didn't think anybody would ever make it. I don't know. I thought like he probably did the most to actually get his movie made. It was like he had the biggest, whatchamacallit. It was like he probably had the highest difficulty of anybody who made a movie that was nominated this year, I feel like. And he killed
it. Yeah, it was also his first movie. Like going back to what you're saying, why didn't it win? It's just because this was like not the type of movie that you would ever expect to win. Like the director making his first movie, it's like a horror movie. It's
It came out in February of last year.
Yeah, it came out in February. Like that's
Oscar movies never come out in February.
Yeah, just to get nominated is like pretty crazy for this movie, and like the fact that it almost won is like pretty shocking. So
yeah, there was actually a portion like during the show where I was like, Get Out might win because like The Shape of Water wasn't really getting all those technical categories that I thought it was gonna get. Like, it didn't win that many other ones. And then when Jordan Peele won Best Original Screenplay, I was like, oh, does Get Out have a chance? Like,
there's a lot of buzz. There's a lot of buzz for it, like, the last few days, like, right before.
Yeah, no, I think
it went down to, like, 10-1 odds or something. There's to win, 5-1 to win, something like that.
Yeah, but I thought it actually had a chance there for a second. Like, I started to believe it could happen, but then it didn't. Sadly.
Yeah, I think like the first time director is a big thing too, because I think what I've noticed with the Oscars is like they'll tend to reward these directors that have had like multiple classic movies, even if it's not their most inspired performance or best movie. It's just like almost a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah, they're usually people usually win Oscars for like the movie or two after they were supposed to win one.
Exactly. Yeah.
They usually end up winning one for like their third or fourth best movie. And it's like, well, we should have given you one a while ago.
But and that's probably what happened to Guillermo del Toro, too.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, well, we probably should have given you one a little bit ago. But, like, I mean, that's like what happened with, like, Leo, where it's like, all right, Leo probably should have won one.
Yeah, good, but, like, I've seen better Leo's
performances. Yeah, and I feel like that also kind of happened for Roger Deakins for cinematography and Blade Runner. Like, it probably wasn't his best work, but they were like, all right, we have to give it to this guy eventually. Like,
totally. 15th
time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is like that. It is kind of does get like that, where it's like, all right, this person should have won one already, so we have to give them one.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I don't know. Yeah. But did you guys, Greg, you said you saw all of them?
I did see all of them, yes.
I didn't see Call Me By Your Name, Phantom Thread.
Yeah, how is that? How is Call Me By Your Name? I've heard good things about that.
I really didn't like it, just because, mostly because it's not the type of movie that I would like. Like, I kind of knew going into it that I wasn't going to like it. It's just like nothing happens. Just like nothing Bill Simmons? Happens. They ride
a romantic
bikes,
movie
they
between
go for swims in like the countryside of Italy. That's the entire movie. The most exciting part is when Timothée Chalamet fucks a peach. That's the most exciting part.
Wait, hold on.
Wait, so Bill Simmons had this idea that if that was filmed anywhere else in like Italy, which is like one of the most beautiful places in the world, like if that were filmed in like Midwest America or like, you know, anywhere else that you could bike a lot and swim a lot, but not like literally one of the most beautiful places in the world, no one give a fuck about. He's like, it's a scenery movie.
It would also be really creepy. You know what I mean? I feel like part of the reason, like, oh, it's Italy, it's romance or whatever, you know? But if it was like in like fucking like Michigan or like the middle of nowhere, oh, yeah, one of these Midwest cities, it's like, oh, this like 40-year-old guy is getting with like a 15-year-old boy, I'd be like, what the fuck?
That's not what
he's not 40. I was gonna say, he's like 20.
I think isn't Armie Hammer supposed to be like a like grad student?
And, yeah, he's like a grad student, so he's like, okay. I don't know. So like I'd imagine like 22-ish.
How old is Timothy Chalamet supposed to be?
He's 17.
Okay. 17.
So it's like a little.
Okay,
like
that's
strange,
actually not that bad.
It's not completely unrealistic.
I like Marshall's Roy Moore version of the story a lot better.
Yeah, no, that's... But dude, Timothy Chalamet really had himself a year there. He was in Lady Bird and Call Me By Your Name, so...
Yeah, I forgot he was in Lady Bird, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's not
great.
A huge part in Lady Bird, but he's in there.
Any other movies you want to call out from the list? Because I guess for me, it's like, I definitely want to see Lady Bird, like, as soon as possible. And then I think... I will see Shape of Water eventually. I feel like I'll end up seeing Call Me By Your Name just to see what it's about. I don't think I'll like it, but
I'm
one of those movies you want to see.
I'm probably going to end up watching it too. Like I've watched six of them, so I only have three other ones to watch. So I just feel like I'm probably going to end up watching them. Yeah. And the Phantom Thread I wanted to watch before the Oscars, but I just ended up not having time to go do it. So I'll probably watch it this week.
That's the movie I see. I'm like,
Phantom Thread?
That has zero appeal to me. I don't know.
Phantom Thread, you're pretty much just watching it to watch Daniel Day-Lewis, I feel like. Like, Darkest Hour was to me. Like, Darkest Hour is like, I'm going to watch this to watch Gary Oldman.
Well, it's Phantom Thread has Paul Thomas Anderson's director. Have you guys seen, like, his other movies?
Yeah, he's a pretty...
Well, what else has he done?
There Will Be Blood.
Oh, shit. Okay.
He's a very...
That's actually...
He really loved that movie.
Yeah,
that's he's a pretty
really
big
good.
Deal.
Yeah, The Artist he did.
I didn't see that one.
Done.
There Will Be Blood is great.
Didn't he did Boogie Nights, didn't he?
Maybe.
Yo, he did. I'm looking it up right now. Yeah. Dude,
he did do Boogie Nights.
Now this has just shot up to like must watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Although Boogie Nights is like such an interesting premise to me, but anyway.
Well,
I mean, his movies.
Yeah, especially because he's so good at just making something that's like, seems like super just like boring, like seems super interesting.
Yeah,
like I kept thinking back to like There Will Be Blood because it's literally like Daniel Day-Lewis and Paul Thomas Anderson. It's like very similar movie in terms of like I feel like the tone and like the themes are somewhat similar. It's just kind of like, I mean, obviously they're different settings and stuff, but just like the fascination that he creates and like the like chemistry between the characters. Out of, like, basically, like, a very kind of, like, boring, you know, they're just, like, a dress designer. So it's, like, not that interesting, like, of a, like, a atmosphere, but I liked it. It's
I think hearing that director, hearing that director makes me a lot more interested because, I really like the movies he's done in the past. Boogie Nights is, I don't think it's top 10 for me, but it's definitely, like, of the movies I've seen recently, it's one of my favorites. Like, that movie is so well done, and like there will be one is I think that one Best Picture. I mean, that's a classic movie as well. I forget, did that one big Best Picture or No Country for Old Men? Because I remember
No Country for Old Men won. If those were the same years, No Country for Old Men won.
Which I probably agree with, but those were two really really good movies.
Yeah he was nominated, but he didn't win.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's really good. I don't think it's as good as There Will Be Blood, but it's pretty good.
I think
I definitely want to see it now after hearing you say that.
I mean, Darkest Hour is worth your watch if you just want to watch Gary Oldman's performance. Like,
dude, he's been in so many movies and he's so talented. I guess like I get why he won for this one because it's like, you know, the role is like challenging to be like Churchill for him, but like I feel like he's done like so many more jobs. I don't know.
He's really good in it. Like
I'm sure. And like, he's legitimately one of the most talented actors, I think.
And he's like legitimately the whole movie.
Yeah,
like it's like without him, like there's really no movie here, like at all.
Wait, are you guys gonna see that Marshall and Twain? Are you gonna see Darkest Hour? Because I don't want to spoil it.
But, you can spoil it because, like, I'm going to see it, but it's, like, I kind of know, like, I've read a book about Churchill. Yeah. Like, I kind of know, like, Churchill's spiel, if that makes sense. So, like, I don't know, like, I'm sure there'll be good scenes that, like, wow, that's really powerful. But even if you say it, it's, like, when I see
you're gonna see it coming. I feel like the movie is kind of like it, you kind of see it coming, but like it freaking pissed me off that literally like he walks into like the train station or whatever.
Oh, the subway thing.
Yeah, and he asks like five people, and he's like, "Oh, well, they said I should do this, so clearly I'm gonna do this." When he's been lying to them the entire time about how the war is going, it's like,
yeah.
Chill. I was pissed.
That's a completely fictional scene, and it is.
Yeah.
I didn't get. I was like watching that, and I was like during the scene, I was like, "Oh, this is kind of like a like entertaining scene to watch." But then when you actually think about it in the context of the movie, you're like, "What? What?"
Yeah, it's like, a good scene. What is happening? It's a good scene, but it's also like, dude, just like look at a poll. Like that's what they're meant for. Yeah. Like you don't just go on the link, go on the train station, and ask five people what they think. Like,
yeah, no, that.
Hey
that
man, was like, polling is unreliable. Okay, especially in 1941.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But the cool thing about Darkest Hour is it kind of essentially links right up with Dunkirk. So.
And that's the one movie I did think I wanted to talk about because I feel like we never talked about Dunkirk because that came out a while ago. But
like Darkest Hour is really like Winston Churchill is really like planning and like actually initiates that whole entire mission in the movie. So it's kind of like you could like watch Darkest Hour and then immediately put on Dunkirk and feel like you were just watching what you were like was just being explained.
So he's like planning the evacuation.
Yeah, they like, he literally like calls a guy and is like, "All right, get all the boats ready or whatever. We got to get our boys out of Dunkirk."
That sounds like a great double feature, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was this? I assume this was completely unintentional.
Yes, it was completely unintentional.
I would assume. Yeah.
You sure it's not Big Hollywood? You know.
I mean, maybe, but
secret sequel.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know, but what did you want to talk about Dunkirk? And which way?
I don't know. I guess just like, what are your guys' thoughts on it overall as a movie? Like, I enjoyed it, but I don't know. I couldn't help. I feel like maybe it's partly because it's Christopher Nolan, who is probably, I would say, my favorite director. Like, the expectations are very high.
Yeah.
Like, I guess seeing him tackle like a nonfiction like kind of topic, like it was interesting to see his take on that. I think what he did, like switching between the stories, was interesting, but I don't know. Yeah. I feel like
Christopher Nolan can't do a linear story, like a conventional storytelling movie. So.
Yeah. It felt like a little unnecessary. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it added anything to the movie.
Well, see,
I think switching it up kept it interesting, I guess.
I think the idea behind it was he wanted to give all three of those portions of the story equal storytelling time. So it's like, because like, you know, the beach thing is like a week and then the boat one is only a day and the plane storyline is only a couple hours. So it's like, if he told that in a traditional, like Tom Hardy would have like 10 minutes of screen time.
Or he'd have like 35 minutes just in the middle.
So it's like, I don't know. I think he did that as a way to spend the same amount of time or equal, like, you know, equivalent amount of time with each storyline and each group of characters, I think was like the purpose of it. And I don't know, how many times have you seen it, Marshall? Just once?
I saw it twice.
I also saw it twice, and I liked it a lot better the second time I watched it.
I did like it better, and actually, now that you mention it, I think I want to take back that statement. I think actually the timing that he did actually did add to the movie, because I think otherwise it's kind of like a pretty one-dimensional, like kind of wartime documentary.
Yeah.
I think like switching up between the storylines was pretty interesting. I think the best thing that movie does is it captures like the desperation of like actually being a soldier in that war, where it's really like, I feel like a lot of movies kind of glorify like the we're gonna take down the Nazis, you know, or like you know, band of brothers, we all die together,
we'll
save our men. But I feel like in reality, these are like 15, 16 year old kids who are just trying to survive and make it home.
Yeah, dude,
they don't give a fuck.
They don't care, dude.
Yeah.
They're just like, I don't want to die. Like, they're just like, I want to get out of here. Like, and you kind of get that. Like, that was some people I talked to after I watched the movie and they saw it and they were like, I didn't really like care for it that much. And I just feel like it was because there wasn't a lot of like character development in the movie. Like, usually in war movies, you like the reason that people like them so much is because they get you really invested in the characters in the movie, and like you care whether or not they live or not.
Yeah, well, also, like, all the characters are really noble, too.
In this one, it's not like that. Like they don't really make you, like, super invested in any of the characters. And like I said, like, all of them are just the whole time trying to get out of where they are. Like, none of them are, like, trying to be, like, super brave and do all this crazy stuff. Like they're all pretty much running and hiding for the entirety of the movie.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And there's no real, like, relationships either. Like, there's no, these two friends and, like, one of them dies or something. It's just, like, random people that
just random meet people
each other and try to help each other.
Different parts of Britain or whatever.
Yeah, they're just trying in the same getting out. Like,
together. They're just trying to survive,
So you're saying the movie should have been named Get Out?
Sure, yeah. Because, I mean, that's pretty much the entire thing is they're trying to get out of Dunkirk. Like,
basically. Yeah.
Like, the most, like, invested in any character you get is, like, the people on the boat. Like, Mark Rylance's character.
The one guy, like, falls or whatever.
Yeah, I can't remember that actor's name.
I don't know.
But, like, that's, like, and then, I mean,
that's
I guess,
like, the characters are so, like, unmemorable. Like, I couldn't even
name. I don't remember anyone's
like,
name.
I mean, to be fair, I don't remember their names. I saw it the last time. But I just feel like the characters in general just are, they're almost, like, that's the point. Like, they're just soldiers. They're just soldiers trying to survive.
No,
like,
yeah. I
think it's like a job capturing.
Yeah, no, and I just thought that movie was just really well made and put together, too. Like, it's just a really, really well made movie. Like, I don't know. I just liked it. And, like, the sound, like, it won both of the, like, the sound mixing and editing Oscars. And, like, that's, like, something I noticed during the movie where it's, like, it just feels super tense all the time in that movie.
The entire movie is really tense. I would agree with that.
And, I don't know. I like Tom Hardy's character in that. But I don't know how, like, he really just sat in the plane.
Was he the dad?
He does,
he's the plane guy, okay?
He says, like,
he's
10 words.
And and they're all, like, super generic, like, he's on your left, and, like, stuff like that, like, the whole movie. But then the ending scene is, like, the hardest scene I've ever seen. Like, him just, like, landing the plane, like, his engine gives out, and he's just floating around. And then he lands it on the beach, just sets it on fire, and stands there. And I'm just like, wow.
Don't the Germans come? Yeah, and they come and capture him.
Yeah. But dude, just him flying around without an engine is like the craziest thing. I was like, wow, this is so sweet. Like,
yeah, definitely. I think it's like it's an important movie because I feel like I'm not sure if I've ever seen this done for World War II as far as like the complete desperation. I feel like the iconic World War II movie is probably like Saving Private Ryan or whatever, and I feel like that's like the prototypical like war movie, like. You know, Band of Brothers, like, we're here, we gotta save this guy, you know, No Man Left Behind, you know, like, character development, it's focusing on just one squad who's, like, out there trying to defeat the Germans or whatever, and save this kid. And, like, I would liken it to what All Quiet on the Western Front does for World War One, and then I think the closest movie comparison would be Full Metal Jacket. I feel like that movie was way ahead of its time. And I think that is one of the classic movies as far as like kind of capturing like, you know, this guy's just out there in Vietnam. He's just trying to survive. Like, I feel like I would put this with Full Metal Jacket as far as like the definitive war movies that actually depict how war probably went, you know, not like a glorified version of it, which I think is important to see.
Yeah, definitely. Who is doing this? Mark, is this you? Making a drink.
I can't believe you'd accuse me of that. I actually thought I was still on mute.
You got it muted, Mark. I made it.
Put it on mute.
Mark's been muted the whole time, like I know he has.
Just sipping away.
Yeah.
There's actually once or twice where I was about to hop in, and I was like talking for 5 seconds, like, why haven't they shut up yet? And I was like, I'm muted.
Wait, I want to hear Mark's thoughts on Get Out. I guess we kind of talked Get Out into death, but let's talk.
We talked Get Out in like that second episode we did for
any other takes on the Best Picture nominees, Greg or Tony? I don't know. I guess for me, like The Post, like it was fine. It was a good movie. Like
I didn't see that one yet.
There was nothing super memorable about it for me. Like Tony, if you get a chance, like watch it. I thought it was enjoyable. You know, it was like, all right, that was a cool movie. I don't know.
Yeah, there's some good performances in it, obviously.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, it's Meryl's in just, it. So.
Yeah,
it's Meryl and Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Tom Hanks.
Not Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Never
Tom. Yeah, there are big names in it. It felt like big it was trying to win an Oscar, but I don't know.
Just, Spielberg.
Yeah.
But it feels like it. I mean, like it kind of feels like a similar movie like I've seen before. Like
I don't know, Spotlight or like Bridges Spies or something like that, where it's just
there's been a bunch of those kind of movies recently. I don't know. Yeah. It's like I'm kind of overdone. Like, all right, we glorified the press enough, you know? Like,
also,
the press is doing great, but like, I don't know. It's another.
Also, like, I didn't like get into the like the political, like, oh, this is like such a huge moment, because it was just like, I don't know. I feel like we go through this like every day now, last year. So
let's not get into it right now.
Yeah. And I'm just saying, it was like, I felt like if this would happen today, it'd be in the news for like one day. And then,
next crazy Trump thing would come out.
I'd be like, all right, move on next day. So it's like, cool, but not like that big of a deal.
Yeah.
All right. But
all right, wait, quick straw man pull. So did you guys see the Swaggy P Get Out movie review?
I did not.
I did not. Okay.
So,
he just watched the trailer, right?
Yeah, but there was like another thing he did where he made like this comment where he was like, after Meta World Peace saw Get Out, he texted me. He's like, you're living in a Get Out situation. And then he's like, and I saw the movie and I realized I was. And they're like, well, what'd you do? He's like, I got out. So the sequel to Get Out, based on Swaggy P's life, doesn't win the Oscar for Best Picture. Straw man pull.
I don't know. Well, depends on who's directing it, Mark.
I have to assume Iggy Azalea is like the girlfriend, and just eerily similar movie.
Oh man,
we're like Lever, or like some old 50s basketball player wants Swaggy P's body.
Fat Lever.
All right, I'm in.
I'm in on this movie too.
I'm watching that.
Let's GoFundMe. Let's help him make this happen, guys.
Yeah. Unofficial Get Out sequel in the Get Out universe.
All right. Well, do we want to? We good on the Oscars then? Oscar movies. We good on this?
Those are my takes. Really, I feel like supporting actor Rockwell, I think, probably deserved it out of what I saw.
All of the like individual actor awards, I wasn't really surprised by. I didn't see I, Tonya, so I don't really have a take on Allison Janney winning.
She was really good in it. I really liked
and she
that
had
movie.
The.
I think that movie's underrated. I thought that was a really like enjoyable movie, start to finish. And like, I didn't know anything about that situation. It was pretty enlightening what happened. And I think it was like a funny story and like an interesting story at the same time. And like, she was pretty great as the mom.
Yeah. And she had the whole physical transformation thing going for her too, which always gives you points for Oscar voting for some reason. But
yeah,
all the other ones, like I knew Frances McDormand was going to win after watching Three Billboards.
Oh, totally. She deserved it. Yeah.
And I assumed Gary Oldman was going to win Best Actor too. So none of those really surprised me.
Yeah.
At all. But did you guys want to shout out any of your other movies you liked from last year while we're talking about 2017 movies? Like, any other movies you wanted to talk about, liked? I can tell you what the worst movie I saw was in 2017.
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's go around. Maybe do the worst movie. That would be kind of interesting, actually.
The worst movie I saw in 2017 was The Mummy.
Oh, you saw that. I heard that was garbage, dude. Oh, no.
Not great. And I, for some reason, watched the Death Note movie on Netflix, which was also not great.
Oh, geez.
I don't even know why I watched it. Like, I don't know why. Like, I've never watched a single minute of the Death Note, like, anime thing in my life. But for some reason, I saw it, and I was like, I guess I'll watch this. And it was not great.
Yeah.
And King Arthur wasn't great.
Okay.
Even though it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that movie, I thought, I was like, that's going to be bad. Oh, you know what? One movie I really did like was It. I really enjoyed It.
Yeah.
I never watched the original and I've read the book. So I was like, all right, this is like this creepy clown or whatever. Let's go. Let's see how it goes. Like, it was like a very enjoyable experience. Like, that was a great movie to see at the theaters too, because like the crowd was getting into it and like shouting and like laughing and like people were screaming. Like, it was a fun experience.
Yeah, I've only like half seen It, but it looked interesting. But
yeah,
it takes me completely out of the movie whenever the clown's dancing.
Yeah, that's a super strange part. I would almost say like I don't think that's worth watching by yourself. I feel like that's a movie you got to see with other people.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of like get people into it too, but
yeah,
it was definitely an enjoyable experience when I saw it. I mean, The real worst movie is Emoji Movie, but I don't think any of us saw that.
No, I didn't see it.
I try to avoid that movie.
Let's not even fucking talk about it, because like, that looked like a goddamn atrocity. Like, there are like bad movies like The Room, and then there's like the Emoji Movie, which looks like the worst thing of all time. Like, oh my god, how did that even get made?
By the way, The Disaster Artist, that was a great movie.
I was going to say, I haven't seen that. Yeah. That's on my,
you haven't seen that?
That's on my to-watch list still. I still have
hilarious.
It was so funny, Greg. I loved it.
Yeah, it was so funny.
Movie you have to add to the watch list though, Lego Batman.
Nope.
I actually heard that's really funny too.
Two hour, ten minute animated comedy. Made it's kind of for all ages. Like there's some kid humor in there, but there's like some adult humor. But like you would think it really would lose you, but it absolutely does not. It is so funny. Like the whole plot of the movie is ironic in the fact that like the Joker wants Batman, like he wants to be Batman's like one true rival, and Batman's like pretty much like, nah, like I don't respect you, I don't give a fuck about you. And then like throughout the movie, Batman like learns to give a fuck about the Joker because the Joker like gives himself up and puts himself in jail. He's like, what are you gonna do without me if you can't stop me? And then Batman tries to like go into jail and like send him into like this alternate dimension with like the worst villains. And
what the heck is going on?
And then the Joker frees all like the worst villains to like this alternate dimension. It is so funny. All right, maybe part of it gets some bonus points because Will Arnett is Batman, and I adore Will Arnett, and I adore BoJack Horseman.
Yes,
but like it is so funny. Like it really doesn't feel like 2 hours and 10 minutes, and like the whole Batman character
it's
is just
2 hours and 10 minutes.
Yes,
a Lego Batman movie is 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Dude, the Lego movies are great though. Like I'm actually, yeah, I would actually want to see them.
If anything, it's not long enough.
All right. Well, we gave Mark the floor to talk about the one of two movies that he saw this year. The other one being Get Out.
I saw some movies this year, but they were like mostly bad horror movies from like the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s.
Hell yes, dude. Hell yes. I was watching back in October. I was watching like Friday the 13th Part 8 or whatever. Like all those fucking shitty movies on AMC. That was a great time. Those movies are so awful. But two I wanted to throw out there. I don't know, Tony, Greg, if you guys have seen them. The Big Sick and Baby Driver.
Dude, that's crazy because I was really about to say both of this. Like, I was about to be like, two other movies I wanted to shout out is Baby Driver and The Big Sick.
Like, yeah,
that's
like, those are two that I didn't see that, like, I've heard good things about that I want to see. So
you haven't seen them?
Yeah. I saw The Big Sick in theaters, and it was super good. Kumail Nanjiani is my dude. He kills me and everything. Like, because I watched Silicon Valley, so I knew him from there. And then I saw him in a movie. And I was like, well, I have to get to see this. And it's super good. Like it's funny. And it's like actually like a somewhat, like it's like an emotional story too. So it's like, I don't know, it's good. And like Ray Romano is hilarious in it. Like, because he's just like this almost like no emotion, like dad who's just kind of like a goof. And it's like so funny, dude. Like, I don't know, that one was really good. I really like that one. He was also great on the Oscars.
He was really funny.
Yeah, he was good. And but Baby Driver, I didn't see in theaters. I watched it at a later time, and I really liked that one too. That one was really good.
Yeah,
it's just kind of it's a good action movie.
Yeah, I've heard good things about those too, so that's, I kind of want to get your takes on those.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, because like I said, I was actually going to mention this, but I mean, other than that, I pretty much only saw like superhero movies, and then like the Kingsman sequel, which was pretty disappointing, and John Wick 2, which was John Wick.
Yeah,
the best movie of the year.
Yeah, I mean, most of
I love John Wick.
I liked. I don't know.
Yeah.
Star Wars was like disappointing the first time, and I saw it again, and I was like, yeah, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, see, Star Wars was one of my favorites. I liked it a lot, but on my watch list still from last year, besides the three Oscar ones I didn't watch, I still have to, I want to see Wind River. Did you guys see that one?
What's that about?
No.
It's like someone got like murdered on like an Indian reservation. Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen are in it.
Oh, I see. I heard about that one.
It's the same.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same writer that wrote Hell or High Water from a couple years ago.
Oh, great movie. That was a great movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same writer from that and Sicario. He wrote Sicario too. So I'm very interested in seeing. Like, I've wanted to watch this movie like since it came out, and I just never ended up seeing it. So I have to watch that.
That's crazy, because yeah, like those are two like really underrated movies. Like Hell or High Water was so good,
so, dude. Yeah. So good. That movie.
I'm surprised this movie isn't bigger, because I like haven't heard of it at all.
Yeah, and like it has like two like actual.
Yeah, with like
Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen are like they're Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did that come out?
Yeah.
It came out like over the summer, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. It came out in, like, yeah, it was like July or something like that. I think it came out. I have to watch it.
I want to see that now that you mentioned that one. Dude, there's so many movies out there. God.
Yeah, and I also want to see The Lost City of Z. I've heard it's good. Okay. I don't know if any of you guys have even heard of that one.
I think I've heard of it.
Heard of it,
no. I don't know enough.
Yeah. No, Charlie Hunnam's in it, so that's, like, kind of all I know about it.
Yeah.
Oh, and Robert Pattinson is in it. I know that, too. But
yeah.
I've heard it's good.
Greg.
And The Disaster Artist. I want to see that. But Greg.
Disaster Artist. Definitely, have you seen The Room?
See that.
No, I have to watch The Room.
Yeah.
You
need to do is get some friends together, Mark. Go hang out with Tony and drink with him. And
Hard pass.
Dude, no.
All right, Tony, go down to middle of nowhere in Georgia. Or in Alabama, whatever the hell Twain
is. Dude, come on. Fly out there, Tony. Or fly to Madison or Seattle.
Airport's like an hour away, so that's a pretty big drop.
We'll get some brews. We'll watch that. That's a movie you have to be drinking, because it's not a serious movie. If you're not drinking while watching it, you're gonna be miserable, because it's not that type of movie. But then you can go see The Disaster Artist completely sober, and it's like really funny. Because
you have to watch The Room first, though.
Yeah, I know. So that's my problem. I have to watch.
Like they remake the entire movie of The Room, basically, and it's hilarious.
It's so funny.
I've like watched a couple like scene comparison things, and like the scene where he's like on like that rooftop, and he comes out of the door, and he's like, "I didn't do it," or whatever.
So he just turns and he's like, "Hey, what's up?"
Oh hi Mark. No, dude, like hilarious. I've like seen.
I did
like,
not
the,
kill her.
The
side... I did not. I did not do it. I did not. Oh hi Mark.
Yeah, like I saw like a comparison between it, like how James Franco did it and how Tommy Wiseau did it originally, and it was like, I was like, wow, they're way too good at remaking this. Like
I know,
and like the one trailer where it's like they show all the like. Bad takes he had is so funny. Like he like walks out the door and just like doesn't know what to say. And he's like, what is line? And it's like, you wrote the movie. Like,
and that's all based on a true story. It's based on the book. It's so
wow. After like I saw all the trailers for it and everything, like I started like looking up like who Tommy Wiseau was, and that dude is super sketchy. And just the weirdest dude ever. Dude. Like,
apparently, no one knows how he got some money.
No one knows his real name. No one knows his real name, because Tommy Wiseau is not his real name. Nobody knows where he's from.
I think
he's
from
rich.
Eastern Europe. I think they. Yeah, I mean that's where like Poland or something.
Yeah, but nobody knows where exactly, which is like weird. Like nobody actually knows anything about this guy. Like,
yeah.
It's super crazy, and he just decided to make a movie, and he's, like, the worst actor ever.
Yeah, dude. Greg, we have so many good memories watching that movie in college. And just that's the perfect pregame movie, where you're just having a few drinks and just laughing at the absurdity of that movie.
Well I'll wait out for next time you guys come back to Pittsburgh, and we'll watch
it. Dude, let's watch it in Vegas. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, go to Vegas
one
and
night.
Stay in and watch a movie. Yeah. No, we'll pre-game and watch that movie.
10 hours of NBA Summer League.
Yes.
And back-to-back
get kicked
double
out,
movie.
Get kicked out of a Summer League game. Get too drunk. And then
they don't get through me. I'm going to be rocking my Barry jersey at the NBA Summer League in Vegas.
Dude, you got to wear that, actually. That'll be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Where else can I wear a basketball jersey besides Vegas? Come on.
Good point.
That's true. No, but... so do we have anything else on movies of the past of 2017, then? We good on that?
I think we talked through all of them. Greg, try to watch Annihilation, then we can give some takes.
Yeah,
and
I just like
if
said,
you want to.
All right,
week.
I just saw it on Sunday, so. And it was good. I liked it.
I feel like that movie has a lot to talk about from what I've
definitely.
Seen.
So. That's now the third movie I've seen this year so far. And
what
it
else
ranks
have
second.
You
Black Panther. And I sadly watched the Cloverfield Paradox.
Oh, yeah. Cloverfield
Paradox was so funny.
Tony, you should watch Game Night. Game Night is a solid movie.
I have to see Game Night. I do want to see
it. It's good. I like it.
And I think that, doesn't that Ready Player One movie come out soon? Which I was like,
that looks fucking trash. I know,
but it was like interesting. Like
trade wreck. I don't know. Like
it's like a book, isn't it? Isn't it based off a book?
I don't know, dude. Like I
it's like based off a book about video games, and I'm just like, I might see it. But basically,
I mean, I'll see it too, just so we can get some takes on it. But it doesn't look. That's the good thing about MoviePass is like I just go and be like whatever.
I have to.
I'm not losing money.
See my. But for the next like month and a half or 2 months, I'm gonna try and watch the first 17 Marvel movies before Infinity War. We'll see if I get that done.
Cool.
But I'm gonna try.
Good luck, man.
It's only 35 hours. So definitely doable.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm gonna try. So if I die, you'll know why. It's because I've tried to watch 17 Marvel movies in a month and a half. Before Infinity War, but
does that come out a month and a half?
It comes out the end of April. They moved it up a week.
They moved it up.
Screwed me.
Yeah,
it was supposed to.
Oh man, they're chalking you.
It was supposed to come out the first weekend of May, and now it's the last weekend of April.
Yeah, April 27th.
Yeah, and then the summer kick, dude. Once May hits, I'm gonna have way too many movies to see. Because, like, Infinity War, Deadpool, and the Han Solo movie all come out in May. Like, why would you do that to us?
Yeah.
Why?
Hey, you just did three movies in a weekend, Tony. I did.
I watched Lady Bird, Darkest Hour, and The Shape of Water all this weekend.
That's a solid weekend.
And I saw Annihilation. Quinn just watched
two movies in a year, right?
And I saw Annihilation in theaters. So I watched four movies this weekend. Three from my bed, one in the theater.
That's a solid weekend. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
I tried to go see Annihilation, but I was like 5 minutes late, and they were sold out. And the thing that sucks about MoviePass is you can't actually request the ticket until you get to the theater.
Yeah.
So I got to the theater.
Yeah. Oh, like, I have a question about this.
On a Saturday night, and I was like, fuck, I couldn't get in.
I have a question about – so, like, if during the day – like, say, like, on, like, Saturday, I wanted to go see a movie at night. Could I go stop by the theater at, like, noon on Saturday, buy a ticket for that night with the movie pass?
You probably could.
You know what? I think you could. I didn't try that because the theater
sure
like,
you can.
A 15-minute drive away. I was like, I'm not there.
Because I know, like, from what I've heard is, like, you have to actually, like, be there to buy them.
You
like,
have to you be at the physical location to get the ticket. But you might be able to go there and buy the and get the ticket for, like, the future. I'm not sure how that would work. I feel like that would be possible, though.
I'm sure you could. Yeah.
I don't know. Because that would be my game plan. Because, like, the theater I go to is, like, 5 minutes away from my house.
You going to Southland 9?
No, Southland 9 doesn't exist anymore.
It's closed, man.
Yeah.
Oh, are you at the Luxury Theater?
The Lux?
The Lux.
Dude, the Lux is my fire.
That place is really nice, actually.
Yeah, it is.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening to the Deceptively Athletic podcast. For Mark Chukowski, Greg Stefanik, and Marshall Hartman, I'm Tony Ornello. Thanks for listening. Subscribe on iTunes and rate and review us and all that fun stuff. Thanks.
Peace. See ya.
Peace.
Peace. You're the freaking worst, Mark.